It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6. Thanks for joining us. And remember, if you can't catch us live, there's always a chance that you can download us at your convenience wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, sir.
And text us at 590-590. All your thoughts, all your comments, questions are welcome at any point. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jen Rolnick with you all for the next 2 hours. Hopefully that's a good thing for you.
Yeah, ideally. You know, for our careers.
If you're driving in the GTA today, take special care. Get a little greasy out there. Lots of snow. And it starts to be kind of getting warmer, and then we rain.
Dude, so. It's supposed to be 5 degrees next week, like all week.
So yeah. It's going to melt this crap?
Yes. Yeah. And Rosedale's going to open at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Fellas, so, we are like really not that far from golf season. You know, it's hard to believe it's already pretty much February.
We're going into the shortest month. Mm-hmm. Now, have we added an extra day this year in February?
Yeah, there is an extra day.
Is there?
Dang.
Yeah. It's a leap year.
One day we're away further.
Sure. But what I do, what I do think is the days are getting longer. Get up in the morning by the time my wife's going to work, the sun's up. Like, we're coming around here.
Yeah. When December and November are 10 degrees the entire time, winter's not so bad.
I can handle this.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, nice. Boys. All right, here
nice
we go.
Blue, nice blue shirts, by the way, boys.
Yeah, blue
Leaf edition.
Yeah.
I've got, we all went blue. I got an alumni jacket. I'm kind of getting more excited about All-Star Weekend.
Oh, you're excited.
We've got Thursday. We got a big event at the Hall of Fame honoring the 67 Toronto Maple Leaf team, mm-hmm. which...
That's cool.
It is really cool.
Yeah.
So I'm getting excited. And Sammy, we've been doing a giveaway, which we'll do later on in the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
For an opportunity to take part in so many festivities. It seems like some teams are going to want the All-Star break as soon as possible. Some don't. Where do we see the Toronto Maple Leafs with two more games coming in? Today, they are on the ice at the Ford Performance Center since returning from their 2-2 Western road trip. I suppose the big watch from here to the All-Star break is what kind of Samsonov we'll get Wednesday night?
Yeah, Samsonov going back-to-back for the first time in a while, which I think is good. You're talking about teams... You know, excited about the break. Some teams want their hot streak to kind of keep going. The Leafs have played a ton of hockey this month, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this has been four games per week and travel and all that. They've played a lot. So I got to believe the Leafs are looking to get out of this home and home with the Jets, get a split,
take a breather. And listen, there's 100 reasons why you don't put too much stock in a win against Seattle. But for me, just to your point, they had good energy.
Yeah,
for Jake McCabe could have easily taken his foot a little bit off the pedal when he went up against Tanev, but he didn't. And I think finding ways to grind that out, albeit on a very struggling hockey club on a losing streak with no stars in their lineup, or at least the best stars that they could present.
Yeah,
it was okay for me.
That was their 11th game in 20 days,
really?
Which is. You know,
it's a lot of hockey.
A ton of hockey.
Making up for their 2 weeks off in the middle of the season in November.
It's been feast or famine here. But to your point, Kip, they handle their business, and that's great.
Yeah.
You know, it's you come out of a tough road trip with a 2-2 split, you know, a couple of tough games here, and then you kind of regroup and see what you got as you head towards the trade deadline. Yeah. So big games. A couple of wins here would be massive.
I do think that this Samsonov thing, well, everyone's feeling pretty good about it, and the last two games that he's played weren't complete disasters. We got the news today that he's starting on Wednesday night against the Jets. And, you know, like that, I don't think this fan base is completely over what's happened with Samsonov.
No.
And I would say that the Jets, I was going to say the New York Jets, sorry, Bourne, I was thinking of Aaron Rodgers there. The Winnipeg Jets are not the Seattle Kraken. And they are not the Detroit Red Wings. There is still a chance that this goes pretty squirrely on Wednesday, and it just, you're right back to square one with Samsonov. So a big gamble with him.
Okay, yeah. Let's pick up that conversation after we hear from Sheldon Keefe on our first Kippers Clipper on why Sammy is starting tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think what I commented on the other night was his focus and his preparation, all those kind of things, confidence. That's what I've really seen an uptick on, in particular since that Detroit game. Like, his practices have been excellent since then. I think he was really hungry for the net last week, and partly because of Jonesy's play and partly by design. We kept them hungry by not playing them all week and wanted to continue to stack good days, knowing that we were definitely going to need them on the weekend. And he stayed hungry, kept working. Quite honestly, I was not surprised that he had the type of game he did the other night, because he's very much looked like himself, or the Sammy that we came to know last season, over the last week in practice.
Okay, this is go big or go home week for Samsonov.
Yeah?
Like,
let's say he has a bad week. Is there any go-home potential?
Yeah, but like I just said before we went through to that clip, if he gets lit up and pulled on Wednesday, which, I think he's looked a lot better in the last two games, and I give him full credit for going down and doing whatever the hell he did with on the ice by himself. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he found a wizard who...
The Jets are legitimately the best team in the league for a long stretch this year.
Yeah.
It's a different animal. And if it goes bad, you're right at square one again, boys.
But,
I agree with that.
But you got to play him.
No, you have to
play him, of course.
There's no better opportunity than tomorrow night to play him based on he's feeling good. The movements were good.
Yeah.
The look was good. Everything was good. So if you can't put him in now, you can never put him in. Yeah. But to Sammy's point, if he doesn't finish the game, then you're in with Jones on Saturday night, and then you go into your All-Star break, and you're giving your management team and your coaches time to go, okay, who are two goalies to start after the All-Star break?
Yeah, so Wohl did skate.
I saw a video from David Alter of him doing hockey goalie things.
Goalie things.
On the ice and pads, sliding around.
So the Leafs' first game after the All-Star break is February 5th. Tomorrow is the 24th of January.
What do you guys want to talk about next week?
I don't know, the All-Star game.
Okay.
We'll pick it apart by period. But, after that could give him 9 days, Joe Wohl.
Yeah.
Could he conceivably be ready? Jones comes back. Maybe he starts the first one and, Wohl works his way in?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I think so, because that will have given him the 2 months, I think.
Yeah.
Since his injury. But
big start then.
Yeah. I just, the biggest worry coming out of it is how he's going to feel with a high ankle sprain and being a goalie, because it's much different than a defenseman. And Liljegren had the high ankle sprain. Is it a coincidence that he's not been able to hit levels that we've seen earlier this year, or a better Liljegren? Where is his 13, 14 minutes the other night tied into how good that ankle feels? Is he playing at 60%, 70%? And if he is, and it's just good enough to get by, then that may explain a lot on why they're not thrilled with his play right now.
Yeah.
So where is Joseph Wohl after the All-Star break? Can he play at 60 or 70% on a high ankle sprain? It is unlikely that it's 90 or 100% back.
Because these ankles don't just get 100% better. It's a gradual improvement.
It lingers.
Yeah.
I've had a high ankle sprain. That was 4 years ago. I still feel it.
Whatever.
It's one of those ones that just slowly refills back to 100 and using it kind of.
So there's no chance that Liljegren's high ankle sprain will feel any better than it does today. It can only get
Liljegren.
Liljegren.
Well, I mean, all-star break here could help.
No, it won't. It's not enough time,
yeah.
Justin. You know what's going to help him? The day the season's over,
yeah,
and he has 6 or 8 weeks to properly heal this thing. That's what's going to make it feel better. There's no time right now
they should do that
to get
now.
It better.
Do you think that's crazy to say?
Legison
can't get in. He was really good for them.
Yeah, I think he has to just manage it.
Yeah.
You just manage a high ankle sprain. Joseph Woll will have to come back and handle and manage a high ankle sprain to whatever degree he's comfortable enough to put it in a boot again,
yeah.
and move around. But it won't be anywhere near than before when the injury happened.
Concerning.
Yeah.
So the team they're playing coming up here, sorry, did you want
no.
more on the ankle?
Nope.
The team they're playing coming up here had given up 3 goals or fewer in 35 straight games prior to giving up 4 last night, which only happened because of an empty netter. In terms of goals allowed this season, the team with the second fewest is the Los Angeles Kings, 116. The Winnipeg Jets have allowed 12 fewer, only 104 goals this season in 45 games.
So they were at 34 last night. It ended at 34, and the NHL record is 35.
Oh, they were one off the record and an empty netter ruined them?
By the 2015 Minnesota Wild. So there you go.
All right. So
it's going to be a tough night.
Yeah. Just not to derail our Leaf edition here, but I just got note that the Flyers had a statement out on Carter Hart, goaltender for the Philadelphia Flyers, who has requested and been granted an indefinite leave of absence, citing personal reasons. The club will not make any further comment at this time. So this is the second guy this week that's been granted permission to leave.
Dylan Dubé
of Calgary. So we'll pick this up in our national hour as well and see what else we can find out about this situation.
Yeah, just going to go ahead and draw the thread for people who don't know. They were both on Hockey Canada or Canadian hockey team in 2018.
Yeah.
Just
okay.
Throwing that out.
Yeah. All right. So we're good with Samsonov.
Samsonov, well, good with me may not be the word. You and I are discussing him.
Oh, yeah.
If that's what you're going to talk about. The other Jets note I had for you on top of the fact that they almost never get scored on is Mark Scheifele and Gabe Vilardi were out last night and are still game time decisions for tomorrow night. So Leafs fans, you can go ahead and do whatever sort of voodoo doll thing you do.
Pretty sure Mark Scheifele was the one that carried the stupid hat that they gave in and said there's nothing better than beating the Leafs. I think that was Mark Scheifele.
Yeah.
So if he's pretty close, he'll probably push it over the finish line to play against his favorite team.
My favorite thing is that the best guy to play against Mark Scheifele would be Sam McKee, who was really bothered by him saying that. And I'm not even making fun of you.
No, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it because he loves the Leafs so much.
Yeah.
That's why he wants to play against them. That's all he thinks about is the Leafs. Can't wait.
Any better than beating the Leafs?
That's him. That's 100% him. That's all he thinks about.
He's got the PJs, the bed sheets, the works.
We'll see.
Where's he from? He's Ontario guy, isn't he?
Let's see what Sheldon Keefe thinks about the Jets, whether or not it includes Scheifele or not.
They've defended real hard. Like it's, they're a really good example of what happens when you have a team that defends real hard with elite goaltending and high-end skill at the same time. So I think they put their defense and goaltending first, and then they have the skill to be able to pull away for them to win games. So they've got a great mindset as a group that they found here this season. Yeah, I think in lots of ways, when we're playing at our best, I think our identity is pretty similar in that sense.
I don't know what that was.
I just put it in there because he compared the Leafs to the Jets, I don't think that's exactly fair.
Probably not. Different styles, different structures.
Do the Jets deserve equal billing, equal attention for what they've done than the Vancouver Canucks?
Yeah, they do. Right? I mean, I would say the difference is last year the Jets, made or missed playoffs by a point, made playoffs by a point, sorry. And Canucks were significantly, a disappointment last year.
They were a train wreck.
Okay, they were full on train wreck. So maybe the Canucks deserve more credit just because of the distance they covered.
I think you're right.
But the difference for me, Kip, is that when I looked at Vancouver, they had the elite guys that made me think that team could get to elite. I never looked at the Jets and thought that team could. I thought that could be a good team. That could be a hard out in playoffs, but they have got to elite somehow.
Well, that's
Mark Scheifele from Kitchener, Ontario. This is a note.
That's what he loves so much.
Yeah.
That's also a good time to let everybody know at the top of the hour, Bruce Boudreau will join us.
Gabby.
Now on the NHL Network, we're going to get into all of this, including, okay, he's got to come clean on who recommended Hughes to play center.
You're not going to ask him that, are you?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Are you?
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of got it.
Who's the... No, I wouldn't say it. This is a not very intelligent person.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny.
I don't know.
It's a whole...
He could probably do it and be better than most.
Sure.
Yeah, he's really good at hockey.
So maybe it's not that bad of an idea.
But it's a let it be a lesson to everyone who's like, Riley should play wing. Like, you know, stuff it.
Okay. Gio out of the lineup again tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Is this a sign that suggests that he is now the seventh defenseman on the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Behind Connor Timmins?
Two in a row? Or is this still a good thing to manage him, and by chance you're in the playoffs, comfortably in the playoffs, you just focus on the back half of the season to make sure he's as fresh as possible? Or is this more indicative of he's just not quick enough, fast enough to handle the Jets?
Well, they played Vancouver, who I think you could say that might be the fastest team in the NHL. I mean, Mikheyev can fly. You go on that lineup. It's just like, you know, obviously Hughes is an unbelievable skater. Sam Lafferty can fly, all those former Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a big, fast team, and Gio was exposed. Jets might be kind of a similar sort of construction. But let me ask you this. Did you think Connor Timmins was really good the other night? Because this might be as much about him.
I think he was consistent on what you get out of him, and that is...
Offense?
Well, he didn't really contribute there, but... That's what he's pushing for.
Yeah,
that's what he's trying to do.
Touches.
But there's times in his own zone where it's kind of like Evan Bouchard, where you're just not sure what he's thinking or what he's doing. And there's the cross check on Tanev that.
You think that was bad?
Not suspendable bad, but
he did get fined.
It could have been. It's. One of those is, did you leave yourself in a vulnerable position to put yourself in that predicament?
Yeah.
Like, just you being in that situation forces you to sometimes do things like take a penalty, which, you know, ultimately it was.
Anytime you're chasing someone towards the end boards and they're in front of you, you got to be real careful about putting your stick on them anywhere.
Like, and Tanev's been through... A lot already being
injuries,
hurt.
Right?
And his first reaction is, I could have broken my leg. I could have broken my neck there.
Funny, Benoit swallowed him up after that. Like, Tanev was whatever, and he was just like big brother, like a blanket over a fire. Just like, you're going to just calm down, son.
But would you be comfortable putting Timmins in game one in the Stanley Cup playoffs against Florida?
No. I was just going to say that. I think I'm more comfortable with Gio against the Jets than I am with Connor Timmins.
I'm more comfortable with Legison than Timmins. No joke.
For sure. But it's just, I mean, we can...
How is he not in more often? Like, he's...
He was great. It's hard to get in because, you know, it's not like the Leafs decor is unbelievable, but they do have 8 NHL defensemen, which is not common.
Yeah, it's true.
You know?
I want to hear Keith on Gio. Clip 3.
Gio gives us everything that he has. I think he's... You know, he's battling. He's to me, he's done a good job. And you know, the other night, it's a back-to-back. It's a busy schedule. It's all of that. But also we've really been feeling like we could utilize an extra right shot in our defense and help us with our puck movement coming out of the breakouts, coming out of the neutral zone and our regroups in the offensive blue line, all those kind of things. So that's part of the decision-making process, too. But, you know, we know exactly what we're going to get from Gio, which is absolute competitiveness and leadership and all those sorts of things. So, you know, I think he'll continue to put the work in to make sure he's ready.
We hear a lot about the left.
I think all a right. really tough thing. Go ahead.
All I heard out of that is he gives us everything that he has, and right now it's just not enough.
To me, that's like a backhanded compliment. Well, anytime you say, yeah, guy gives us everything he's got, you know, you're kind of going, he doesn't got a lot. You know, we're not, if someone has a ton to give you, you talk about that and not them just giving you 100%. I think the tough part with a guy like Mark Giordano is his name and his career make it really hard to evaluate the actual player he is. If everyone had no number and no nameplate and no age, and these were just different players we were watching like it was a computer simulation, would you look at the player Giordano is and say he's that much better than Lagesson? Would you, you know, does he give you that much more? I don't know. We just know what he has been and what he's got a very good brain for it. But yeah, I think some of the reason he's played so much more than a guy like Lagesson is just because he's Mark Giordano.
Okay, we also have a Gio clip, right?
On
being scratched.
And the reason I cut it is I'll just hear what you guys think of the tone that he has in it. Okay. So if you want to play that clip for us there, Derek.
I take the rest. I mean, try to keep yourself in a rhythm, though. I mean, when you sit out games, it's hard to stay in a rhythm. So you got to get your reps through practice and go from there.
You see, he almost like caught himself halfway through that clip where he's like, oh, I'll take the rest. Oh, but you got to be ready and want to play. Like, feels like this may be more of a mutual situation than you think. Like, the fact that he said that off the top like that really took me back. Because
I take the rest. I mean,
He's never been that guy. He's always like, got to keep the engines firing, got to keep the engines
but
firing.
But he has always been the guy who says and does the right thing for the betterment of the team.
Oh, he's a pro.
Yeah.
He's a pro.
So
he's, you're right, Sammy. He caught himself between saying, you know, if I say I want the rest and just, am I mailing it in? Or do I want to just remind people that I'm not going anywhere and I want to get back and competing?
Yeah.
So that's fine with me. It's, I think he played it right. But, you know, I look at the big picture since he came over from Seattle, the Kraken, and you know how I felt all along about Gio, and for the most part, I think it's unfortunate that he needed to come in and look around and see where you're kind of in, what you're missing. And for most of his career as a Leaf, he's been looking like and acting like a top four defenseman.
Yeah, he's been awesome as a Leaf.
Well, he's been misused.
Well, he's been
in a perfect world. His best contribution would have been as a 5, 6, and 7 all this time, and not asking him to still at his age act like a top four defenseman. Sheldon had no choice.
Well, that's what I mean.
No choice.
You know, when you say misused, it sounds like a coaching thing. It's like when you don't have other better bodies, then he's used the
I
way
know.
You're trying to get the most out of your decor.
But I could have told you back then that if that's what's going to happen here, he's going to run out of gas. He's going to get hurt. There's going to be nothing left.
Not, you could have told us. You did tell us. You said it then.
And, like, are we really surprised?
I mean, I wrote about it in playoffs
at this point.
He was struggling. He struggled. So, yeah, you know, it's one of those things.
Like, it was inevitable.
I guess.
It's like, let's not worry about that until it happens.
Yeah.
And now it's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting spot for him. You know, wonder how willing he would be to adapt to a spot where he's the same as Lagesson and Benoit, not even Benoit, who's pulled himself out of that, but as a scratch guy with Timmins and Lagesson.
But Lagesson has to come in, or Timmins has to come in and just prove that you are an upgrade from Gio.
Sure.
And the Lagesson's been good, but it's still been kind of...
Yeah, and for the record, Giordano's been fine most of the time. But yeah, it catches up some against Vancouver. He looked.
Right. I don't know if there's an analytic for breakout passes.
Yeah,
I don't know how you would measure that or whatever. But I'm sure the Leafs do not rank well in that in terms of them breaking the puck out to their forwards. It feels like we've talked about this before about them being stretched out. But I think they're just desperate for another guy that can snap it back there, and I think that's why they're giving Timmins another chance. Like, we've all seen Timmins. We all know what Timmins is.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know how much, like, talking about how much more there is to give. Is there more for him to give? It just feels like they're desperate for a bit of offense from the back end.
Yeah, they do definitely love that he's a guy that can make a play.
Yeah, He can snap a pass.
Yeah, and they don't have a ton of guys like that. But yeah, Timmons to me would have to play 80 games and more situations, and he's just got too long to go at the wrong time for this team.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna welcome in Luke Fox. Does a terrific job covering the Leafs daily on sportsnet.ca. We're going to join him after the break. Pretty powerful guy, Luke Fox.
Is he?
Well, his last article was on Ryan Reeves, which I read it the other day, thoroughly enjoyed it. Yep. First of all, because my first thought when reading this is like, yeah, I know exactly what Ryan Reeves is going through. I lived it. Yeah. It's not fun, right? And here's a guy, for the most part, that's had this great energy and can kind of control, you know, a narrative on a hockey club with just fun energy for the most part. And now it's like he's completely neutered.
Yeah, when you don't play, you don't get to be that guy.
And that's the first thing I got out of his article. The second thing I got out of his article was that kind of opened up a little bit of maybe not a dilemma, but an eye-opener. Is he's been saying he's been healthy for 2 weeks and he's still on long-term IR.
Yeah, well, this is what you do as a reporter, is you don't open that up.
Yeah.
You give someone else the rope to do the opening.
So the power that Luke Fox I'm talking about is I heard that today's off long-term IR.
Oh, is he off today, Ryan Reeves?
Yeah. That's the word. And it's all because of Luke Fox.
Well, then waivers tomorrow, I imagine. Stay tuned, folks.
Okay, let's welcome in Luke after the break. So don't go away.
Teeing up the biggest games of the night, it's the Fan Pregame with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcast.
Back on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Just going to break, talking Ryan Reeves and awaiting Luke Fox from Sportsnet.ca, and touching on the story that he wrote about Ryan Reeves and the frustration he might be feeling right now being out of the lineup. How many games? 17?
Been a while.
17, I think.
Yeah.
Right around there. Anyways, it does present a bit of a challenge, JB, when it comes to rosters for the Toronto Maple Leafs. What are you hearing?
Yeah, the convenient thing here, so they would have to drop someone off their active roster. However, Tyler Bertuzzi has been designated a non-roster player while awaiting the birth of his child. So a fortuitous bounce for the Leafs there. Don't know how long you're allowed to be a non-roster player, but that was Jonas Siegel who had tweeted that. So
okay. Well, I might buy them time for a day or two to sort things out.
Well, and that sorting out is someone's going to be on waivers tomorrow, I would guess. And maybe that's Ryan Reeves. Maybe that's... Go ahead and speculate.
Ryan Reeves.
Is it Bobby McMahon, Pontus Holmberg, Nick Roberts?
I think there's a chance that you lose all those guys. I think there's no chance that you lose Ryan Reeves. That is not a hard decision at all. Okay. Let's welcome in the man who started this whole mess.
No.
For the Toronto Maple Leafs, Luke Fox. Hey, Luke, before we get into the nuts and bolts on what Ryan Reeves means coming off long-term IR, I really enjoyed the story for no other reason than it reminded me of the things that I went through in my career when you weren't in the lineup and ultimately how humbling it is. Is that the way you found Ryan Reeves in that situation when you did and wrote this article?
Yeah, 100%. You know, I just find him a really fascinating character on the Maple Leafs just because there was so much fanfare when he came in. There was a lot of bluster about how he was going to bring snot to the lineup. You know, I remember opening night, he's pointing to his biceps during the introductions, and Brad Treliving's getting a good chuckle, and he was saying how he was going to come in and make the dressing room a louder place. He gets in two fights. He starts, you know, kind of trash talking Corey Perry a little bit in the media, and there was a lot of hype around him. And then the results on the ice didn't follow. Then he gets injured and he's quietly rehabbing. But he's ditched the non-contact sweater for a while, and he's just been practicing, you know, game days, off days, everything. He's just hitting the ice, and he's kind of on an island a little bit. I mean, Nick Robertson's there with him, but Nick's gotten into the lineup a little bit. Reeves has kind of become the 14th forward. And I just thought, hey, you know, I should have a chat with him, see how he's doing, see how he's feeling. And, you know, he's frustrated, but, you know, someone asked me, like, did someone say, hey, you should go talk to Ryan? I was like, no, you know, it was my idea to talk to him. And understandably, he's a competitor. He wants to play hockey. And what, you know, it's kind of like the Wayne Simmons situation, except the thing here is he still has 2.5 years left on his deal. So, you know, he got a nice paycheck, lots of hype, and less than halfway into his first season as a Leaf, he's on the outside looking in.
I know you are a reporter and you don't want to traffic in speculation, but I would like to get just your thought on how you think this could, or what the option, how this may play out. You know, I'm thinking about this guy with all this term left on his contract and doesn't seem happy not playing.
Yeah, well, I mean, this happened last year, right? He was had a run of healthy scratches with the New York Rangers, and then they were able to find a new home for him, right, in the Minnesota Wild. The thing is, that was only a half a year left. Yeah. This is a bit. There's a lot of money and a lot of term. He's 37. He's coming off an injury. You know, this is a guy that could probably clear waivers at this point. Now, that could happen as early as this week. I'm not sure. But what does that say? That it's kind of waving the white flag that A, Reeves doesn't have it anymore, and B, Trey Living made a mistake. It's, you know, I think a lot of people already feel that way. Some people felt that way on the day he signed. But if he hits the waiver wire with 2.5 years left on his deal, it's kind of admitting that it was
a bad signing. Yes, it is. But, you know, option C is that I can't take out McMahon. I can't take out Gregor. I can't take out Holmberg. So that's the way it goes. And I get it, Luke and JB, that it doesn't look great for Brad Treliving that it's a 3-year deal. But if he clears and goes down, there's all but what, $200,000 a year that actually really affects you. So is that big of a deal? I get it. They're pushed up against the cap. Every dollar counts, but it's not like it's millions.
No, you're right. Like financially, it's not a massive hit. And when I asked Sheldon about Reeves's case, he's basically like, we know what he is. Mm-hmm. We have a good idea of what he is. We're trying to find out what Pontus Holmberg is. We're trying to find out if Bobby McMahon can give us more. They're experimenting with Holmberg on the wing. You know, they're moving him around the lineup, seeing if he can pitch in on a top six. I get it. And the other factor is, you know, the Leafs haven't built themselves enough of a cushion to experiment and throw Reeves in the odd game the way they did with Wayne Simmons.
Right.
You know, every point matters. So if the coach thinks playing someone other than Reeves, you know, be it McMahon, be it Holmberg, whoever, gives us a better chance to win on that night. They need the points. They're closer to a wild card spot than they are the second seed. So you have to factor in the urgency to keep accumulating points into this as well.
Where do you fall on like how public narrative is about this Leafs team versus what the team actually is? You know, sometimes we get accused of being too critical. You know, we also hear the opposite too. So, you know, maybe we're doing okay there, but I had someone say like the Leafs actually haven't been that bad since, you know, just before Christmas or, you know, whatever the opinion may be. But right now it feels like there's just a lot of negativity around a team that is, you know, in a playoff spot and has some good players. Where do you fall on what they actually are versus public narrative?
Yeah. I mean, they're a good team. The problem is at this stage, they should be a great team.
Yeah. Expectations. I mean, right?
Austin Matthews, you know, we're debating whether he's on pace for 68 or 70 goals. William Nylander's having the best season of his life. Mitch is doing just fine. I mean, maybe not his best year, but, he's looked dangerous. Morgan Riley's having a fantastic year. Like, it's just, I think it's based on expectations. It's based on history. The fan base tired of seeing this team, you know, not go out and just dominate, right? They're getting by on overtime wins, one goal wins. They're blowing leads, or sometimes they're coming back and regaining the lead and getting points. But what are they? You know, like they're the second tier team. Like that they're in the mix, but they're not one of those teams that you would look back and say, this is a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. Mm-hmm. They're one or two pieces away. Maybe they can fix that at the trade deadline. There's been a lot of holes, whether that's the defense, whether that's patchwork goaltending, or, you know, a bottom six that, like, I look at that Vancouver game, guys, and I thought the Leafs' top players were fantastic. But then the bottom six, Vancouver just ran all over them. And I am concerned that they don't have the right mix, the right recipe to go on a deep run.
Earlier, Luke, in your quick shifts on Sportsnet.ca, you talked about TJ Brody and the struggles that he's going through. Earlier, we heard him talk about, mentally, the thoughts are sometimes there's more to just hockey, and we've talked about that. Well, we also know that he's gone through some personal family issues and situations, and I won't even elaborate even sure. more, because I don't know what's public or not at this point. But
his father passed away. That's in the summertime.
Yeah, and listen,
that's known.
Totally okay. Thanks. Yeah. Totally legit. Is this a guy, in your opinion, that could maybe use some time off if he needs it, or are the Leafs at that point where they just can't let him do it? No matter how much he's struggling right now, we have nobody else.
Well, you make a good point there. And I don't know if he even is asking for time off. I think there's, I don't want to speculate on how much what's going on in his personal life has affected his play, but there's also just the aging curve and hitting the wall. And I actually think we saw a little bit of that in the Florida series when they tried to make TJ Brody one half of a pure shutdown pair. And he got worn out a little bit. And I think he's done very well. He's helped Morgan Riley have a fantastic season. But at this stage in his career, I just think he's a second pair guy, a third pair guy on a really great team. Yeah. And he's still being asked to face the toughest matchups every single night. He's still being asked to play first pair minutes. And that's just out of necessity, out of the roster construction. So it's not unlike what's happened to Giordano. You know, these guys are just on the wrong side of the aging curve. It's starting to catch up with them. And you have to put them in a position to succeed. But Keefe's probably looking down the bench and saying, okay, who do I give more minutes to? Liljegren? Well, I have my own issues with Liljegren right now. And Keefe made those clear on the trip. He said he actually is the guy we want more out of.
Yeah.
You know, Benoit seems to be improving and playing above his head, but I don't think anyone thinks he's a true first pairing guy. So Brody's the guy he trusts, and Brody's feeling it right now. And that was the first time in his whole Leafs tenure. It was after the Calgary game where he said, you know, I have to remind myself it's not the end of the world, even though it feels like that sometimes. And that's the most raw and candid I've seen TJ Brody. And he's feeling it. Like there's been some blatant mistakes that have come off him. The one where he lifts his foot when all he needs to do is touch it and get the whistle. That one sticks out to me. Like, he's just worn down. He's starting to make some mental mistakes.
So we've been trying to manage the Leafs have been trying to manage the goaltending mental mistakes a little bit over the course of this season. Samsonov's mental, has talked about his struggles, I guess, just like staying positive when things haven't gone well. But he went back, to the minors. He's looked pretty good in a couple appearances. What do you think they're trying to have happen with the Leafs? Like, is it trying to get Samsonov somewhere where he's the backup? Or is this kind of just like they think Jones is going to be the better guy and they're just going to let Samsonov prove that to him and everyone else? I don't even know what the best case scenario for this Leafs team is.
Yeah, it really feels like they're taking it day by day or week by week and trying to figure it out as they go along. I mean, they've been throwing some curveballs here with the wall injury and Samsonov's just mental struggles. Like, he never really got it going. And so I'm cautiously optimistic. I don't want to read too much into, you know, a decent showing, but a loss to Detroit, a week off, and then a lightly tested but solid win, his first win in 43 days against a really depleted Seattle Kraken team. But to his credit, it was a one-goal game in the third period, came up with a massive save. He had probably two or three 10-bellers, and just as his visually, like the way he looks, it looks like his confidence is starting to get back. Like his demeanor is a little bit better. So I'm happy that he's getting the start tomorrow against Winnipeg, against a real stiff competition, because in my mind, you have to figure out what you have in this guy. Is he going to be a number two when Wall's healthy? Is he a guy you can trust, or is he not quite all the way back yet? You know, I'm not ready to declare that we're back to 22-23 Samsonov just yet, but I do like the fact that he's going to get some run. And hey, if he looks good in this Winnipeg game, I'd throw him right back out there on Saturday.
I got to think, Luke, plan A is Joseph Wall.
Yeah.
And pick up where you left off. From what you've seen or heard in the last little while, I assume that in a perfect world, he's ready to go the moment the All-Star break is over. And what are you hearing?
Well, it's not so much what I'm hearing is what I'm seeing. I mean, he was on the Western Canadian road trip and he was working out, but he was working out solo, right? With Curtis Sanford, just going through the motions. Working on his movements, you know, they're being very cautious because, like you said, the plan is for him to be the number one game one of the playoffs. So you don't want to rush a high ankle sprain. Definitely he's not going to play this week, but he needs to get in some practices with the team. Like right now he's still practicing solo. So, and they're hesitant to put a timeline. I think maybe because if he misses that timeline, then it puts more pressure on him and them. So they're being pretty cagey about when they actually expect them to get into game action.
What do you think?
coming off the struggles of Ryan Reeves, where are you with John Tavares? Is this a hiccup, or is this, again, to your point about TJ Brody, where Father Time kind of catches up to you a little bit? Where are you on the side of what John Tavares is going through?
I'm less concerned about him than I am Brody or Giordano, yeah, for sure. I think it's going to come. He looked pretty good in that Seattle game. Again, you know, it's not against the stiffest competition, but he was utterly dominant in the faceoff circle. I think he went 12 for 14. He was around the net. The puck didn't fall for him. But yeah, it's got to be frustrating. So now this is the longest point drought since the guy was a rookie. And he's just maintained this level of consistency when it comes to his production that a dip like this is getting a lot of attention. But I think it's going to come for him. Is he the same player he was last year? No, he's losing a step. But I don't think all of a sudden that John Tavares has fallen off the map here. I wouldn't be surprised if once he gets one, he goes on a streak of four or five games where he gets a point.
Yeah, no, I can see that too. And just last one for me, there's been a lot of talk about the coach the last couple of weeks, but, you know, they get a couple of wins on the road trip. Do we feel like some of that pressure has been alleviated from Sheldon?
Yeah, a little bit for sure. There definitely was, it was tense times on the road trip, though. There were a couple practices where he was, I mean, it's not like he's a shrinking violet, but he was a little more vocal than normal, especially the morning skate of the Calgary game was like a 20-minute morning skate, and he was calling a couple guys out, really yelling. And usually morning skates are just, you know, you go through your motions, you get your a little sweat in, you know, you go through your special teams, whatever. That morning felt tense, and that win felt like a massive relief off his shoulders. You know, Jordan Bean comes in with the video review. Auston Matthews throws a team on the back. Like, that was a massive win to alleviate some pressure. I guess if they had a loss to that bad Seattle team, it would be right back to it. So it's we're taking this in two or three game stints. And I know there's a segment of the fan base screaming fire Keefe. But I don't get the sense that Trey Living's there yet. I mean, I think his leash is a bit longer than some people believe.
Yeah. All right.
Luke, great stuff, man. You got anything else?
No, that was it. All good. Appreciate your time, Luke. Thanks, man.
All right. Anytime, guys.
That is
good rest of your show.
Thanks, very powerful Luke Fox.
He does wield real power. I am fascinated by the idea of Sheldon Keefe at a morning skate getting aggressive. You know, like really, but it just really speaks to like desperation at that point, right? Where you're like,
yeah, I think just it's got to be an uncomfortable feeling knowing game to game now you're potentially in a wild card spot. That's new to him.
Yeah. I think that, and when you're new as a coach, like, you know, they're not going to fire you after a year, you know, generally speaking. So you have some runway. Once you've been somewhere for 4 or 5 years and the success isn't there in a big market like this, anytime there's any sustained period of losing, things get hot quick. So it's just a tough market to lose in.
Yeah.
You know, don't lose.
just win
no
games.
Pressure, just
yeah,
don't lose.
I gotta
all
talk.
Losses suck.
Fair enough.
I don't think he's anywhere near off a warm seat.
No.
Like, if they get starched Wednesday against one of the best teams in the league, you know what the conversation is going to be immediately amongst fans. Anyways.
Fans, yep. Here you go.
Yeah. You know, earlier we were talking about some teams just trying to get to a break. I heard the other day, last week we did Toronto and Detroit, right?
Yeah.
And they came in really, really late.
Mm.
But, like, I heard their day was, like, it was phenomenal in terms of they were supposed to leave the night before to come to Toronto. Mm-hmm. They ended up trying to leave the morning of because of a plane issue. Apparently they went up in the air and had to come back because
really?
Yeah.
Like, our wing fell off?
Something. Yeah. I don't necessarily want to say that an engine dropped or anything like that, but it was concerning enough.
Yeah.
They spent the whole day waiting for another plane. They weren't even sure. Another mechanical issue. Like, you're not going to have a longer day than them.
Yeah.
So I just remembered when someone was telling me this story about their reaction when they actually won the game and how.
Yeah, they went nuts.
They went nuts because of the day that they had. Yeah. And they had every reason to lose and lose bad.
And they were down in that game.
Yeah.
All the more embarrassing that the Leafs lost that game.
And
okay.
Let him back in.
I got to read for you here. From February 1st to the 3rd, all the stars in Toronto for the NHL All-Star Weekend will be giving away tickets to the different events in episodes today until January 26th. Today we have tickets for the NHL All-Stars Skills Competition featuring 12 NHL All-Stars competing for a series of challenges like the Rogers NHL Hardest Shot for a take-home prize of $1 million. To enter for a chance to win, text in today's code word CHALLENGE to 59590, and we'll have another code word in tomorrow's episode, so be sure to tune in. That code word is CHALLENGE. So text 59590.
Alrighty. It's almost time for us to do a show on the road.
There we go.
The fanfare.
Ways
right?
to go, right?
What is it, 2 weeks?
I guess it's
sneaking up.
It's a week and a half from now.
Wow. Yeah,
we're real Kipper and Bourne hats. You guys want to wear matching hats?
Yes, we are wearing matching hats that day.
Sweet.
Yeah. We are.
All also right. Pajamas. Wear, hey, meet us on the 9th green at 9, right? Wear something nice.
All right. Our thanks to Luke Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Does a terrific job.
Yeah.
In the next hour, we're going to welcome in Bruce Boudreau.
Yes.
So we got a ton to get into.
Excited about that.
And get his thoughts on Vancouver, Toronto, Edmonton. We're also going to talk a little bit about Carter Hart taking a leave of absence and what that means in terms of this ongoing investigation to the World Junior Team Canada team of 2018.
Yep.
Can we expect something coming now soon? We'll talk about that and more as we continue on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show on the National Edition.